Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields.
I love it.
That's great.
Nothing is real.
For a prosperous strawberry field, you do not want to plant strawberries after the area or ground has been used to grow an eggplant, peppers, potatoes, tomatoes, which surprised me because tomatoes are a fruit too. And pretty soon after you get your strawberry, you should start seeing tomatoes, blackberries, raspberries, or other strawberries.
Romy, you need to be growing your own strawberries in your little garden that you guys have, right?
You know, and we have the right type of garden for it. This is a deeper root crop. Strawberries like at least 12 inches of roots, and they like to be drained, so that would be a much better raised crop garden than a ground crop garden. Because I don't know about you, when was the last time you dug 12 inches into the ground?
Since I left the farm. I haven't since I left the farm.
And you would need some heavy equipment to do that on a big tractor commercial basis. A lot of the discs only disc to 6 inches to go to the size of tractor that you would need to disc to 12 inches to get it turned up. That's a serious tractor.
See, that is. That
back
is.
To your expense.
Yeah, see how he really engages in those very important numbers?
That's right.
We can adopt you two into the farming community. In a sense, Romy, we already have. By the way, I just got a text from my president, Arizona Farm Bureau President Stephanie Smallhouse, and she reminded me that the Mortimer Family Farms also does U-Pick. And I'm thinking she may be indicating they're doing strawberries. So, Charla, if you're listening, send me a text and confirm that, because we're trying to find all the places that are doing strawberries.
In the 8 o'clock hour for the Northern Arizona Dewey Prescott Humboldt area, you can catch Rosie on the House on 780 KAZM. 11:30 and 99.1 or 99.9 KQ&A picks us up at 9 o'clock.
Oh, awesome!
Or you can Calf Country 9:30 a.m. gets down that far south as well. So there's a couple different stations that she could be listening on in the air. And people, it's been Mortimer's, I don't know, a decade now.
I think so.
Longtime residents would know that as Young's Farm, and still to this day, people don't realize that was the old Young's Farm, now Mortimer's Family Farm.
And thanks for sharing some of those other stations, because we're all over, Arizona Farm Bureau's all over, and we've got a lot of counties that and farmers that want to plug into your show in the morning.
And unlike other crops, strawberries aren't a plant harvest type. The first year, you really, they say not to expect a good crop. It's the second or third year, and you can get about 4 years out of a good strawberry plant. So they're not like a lot of our other vegetables and fruits that you plant and harvest and then tear out and plant the next thing.
Yep.
It takes a couple years to get them going, and they'll last a couple years. Now, we had pretty big, significant week for Arizona water.
We did, and it all passed thanks to our legislature and a lot of stakeholders within the Drought Contingency Plan Steering Committee. And it's such a complicated issue. I'm going to read you a real quick paragraph that Chelsea McGuire, our Director of Government Relations, put together. So what did we actually agree to in the legislature? Farmers are the lowest priority users of Arizona's Colorado River allotment. And there's a story behind that, too. Part of it, sometimes I think we maybe don't negotiate that well. No, I'm just kidding. Agricultural districts in Pinal County were set to absorb the major cut and the D.C. mandated cuts. And then thanks to a summer-long stakeholder process, agreements were made to identify 595,000 acre-feet of water delivered over the next 6 years to mitigate the losses in Pinal County. The reality of it is, though, but just over 300,000 acre-feet of that water is what we call wet water. That means water that you actually can turn on the spigot and receive. We know we have 595,000 acre-feet out there, but it's only about 300,000 acre-feet that we can actually use right now. The rest is groundwater. But to access that groundwater, irrigation districts will need to install about $50 million of new and improved well infrastructure. So what happened in the legislature and what passed in the governor's sign, thank you, Governor Ducey, is our ability in Pinal County especially to start building some more wells. We have been doing this for over a decade. They've already invested, if I remember the number right, my farmers will correct me if I've got it wrong, they've already in the irrigation districts invested about $18 million, but because of the drought and quicker potential call on the river, it sped the process up because, see, the irrigation districts in Pinal County were committing themselves to making these improvements on the wells or drilling new ones, but at a pace that was appropriate for the investment that they could afford. This legislation helps us move that faster because the drought has become more severe. You know, one thing I have to say, as I went to the committee hearings, and a lot of times legislators were saying, well, why, you know, your investors, your business people, why don't you take out a loan on a well? Well, the farmers no longer own the wells in Pinal County. The irrigation districts do. And one well, one brand new well, costs nearly $1 million, $800,000. And again, it goes back to that business investment. How do you manage? How do you handle that? Now, so the farmers can't really afford it on their own.
I know you know John Hart.
Yes.
And if I...
He's on our board. He's a rock star farmer.
And he's the president of the Cochise County?
Yes, Cochise County.
The county? He farms down on the Kansas settlement south of Wilcox. And he's got, you know, one of those circle crops, and you've got the spigot in the middle. You know, and if you've flown over, coming into Sky Harbor, and you've ever come up from Tucson around Coolidge and Florence, I mean, you can see the circle crops everywhere. The correct term is escaping me.
And now I'm going blank on it just because you said you couldn't remember it. John Hart, text me right now.
There's plenty that are standing by. Okay, so it was $800,000 to drill one?
To drill one well.
I should probably ask him.
$800,000.
For permission before I say this, you know what his electric bill to run that pump for a month is?
I would love to hear.
Throw a guess. Anybody.
And he can, by the way, the other thing with John Hart and most of the farmers, pivot irrigation.
There you go.
And it reduces water use. It's another one of those technological efficiency improvements. But he can check everything on his phone because he's got an app, and he can turn off one pivot and turn the other one on. But I have no idea. I know it's a lot.
Gary looks like he wants to give
it. Is he using wind?
No. APS. APS. Electric pumps, pump the water out, enough pressure to get it all the way out the pivot.
And this is for
$20,000 a month.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
And if people want to read this whole story about what we do in our counties and how we farm, sometimes it makes me wonder how we make money farming with all of the overhead expenses that we have.
That's one pivot. He has three.
Yeah, he has three. And wow, he's turning them on and off.
So
and
you're starting the beginning of the month knowing you've $60,000 in the hole just to operate your watering system.
Exactly. And so it's pretty intimidating. That's why they have to be as business focused as they are. Some of them. Greatest business minds I know, and I know I'm completely biased, but some of the greatest business minds I know are coming out of agriculture. But if you go to our blog on azfb.org and you hit, it's in the upper right, it says blog. I wrote a story that I kind of ended it by saying we come full circle, because when I was a kid, a little snot-nosed kid, I'd hop in the truck with Dad, and that was our morning and evening routine. We'd go to each one of those wells, check the pump, and we'd check the drop oil. It had to be dropping this oil at a certain pace, like every second. So literally, Dad would teach us to count those. Because if it's not dropping at the appropriate pace and speed, then your engine's going to fry. And that's a no-no, especially in the summer, to have a well go down. So anyway, and now we're going back to wells, even though we were so excited in Pinal County to get the CAP water. But go and read that story, and you'll learn a little bit more about the pain and challenges of farming in the desert. We need to farm in the desert because we need to feed ourselves, but it's important.
And when you look at what's happening in the Midwest and the winter vortex, where there isn't anything growing out there. In fact, I'm sure they're having huge challenges trying to keep a lot of their livestock alive through this type of weather. You really see the need for farming in climates like Arizona, where we're, I wouldn't say bulletproof to those types of situations. We have our fair share of hail damage and other things that we can face, but we don't have 10 feet of snow.
And no, I don't. I love local. I celebrate local. I promote it all the time, especially through our Fill Your Plate. But don't tell me to deny my family, my relatives in the Midwest and the East that want to eat my leafy greens that I get to eat year-round. And that's thanks to the Duncan Family Farms and them growing winter leafy greens, and Yuma growing winter leafy greens. So my relatives in the Midwest want those too.
And you have a split water system.
We do. So we, in the winter season when we're growing edible crops, we do well water. And we do that because of food safety. So food safety, farm worker safety trumps everything on our farm. And so what that does is it allows us to test the water because we're going through, we're doing soil samples, tissue samples on the product before harvest, water samples, all of that has to be cleared before we can harvest a crop and send that out to our customers. So if we do have an issue, we can isolate that issue with that well, treat that well, and it doesn't put the entire, you know, the entire acreage at risk.
They're regularly testing water, and that's one of the keys for the food safety programs that you see throughout, especially Arizona. We're considered a premier, you know, developer thanks to the leafy green agreements through California and Arizona. And they have these, you know, schedule audits and I can't think of the word, but unknown audits where third parties will come up and test your water to make sure that it's where it's supposed to be in order to ensure that food safety.
All right, so we've got another set of Arizona State Park passes to give away if you'd like to get out and explore Arizona, one of Arizona's great 35 state parks. How deep is the ideal soil for strawberry roots? How deep do you want to till? If you know that answer, you can text it to 411-923. How many inches of depth should your soil be prepped for strawberries? If all right answers between now and the next programming segment, we'll just pick a correct random winner. Send you his tickets, and you'll be on your way to one of 35 great Arizona state parks.